Hello, I am Casey Johnson, Senior Director of Strategy and Innovation at CPA.com, the business and technology arm of the AICPA. Blockchain is one of the many emerging technology trends that has the potential to disrupt the accounting and finance role. Each year, the AICPA and CPA.com, in collaboration with the Wall Street Blockchain Alliance, host an annual invite-only blockchain and accountancy symposium that convenes the brightest minds across the globe on everything from crypto to supply chain management. So we are bringing to you a three-part series from a few of those subject matter experts to discuss top trends and advancements. In this first episode, The Highs and Lows of Crypto Tax, we will explore the complexities and best practices of crypto asset management. Welcome to the Go Beyond Disruption podcast, brought to you by the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the unified voice of the AICPA and SEMA. I'm Casey Johnson, Senior Director of Strategy and Innovation at CPA.com, the business and technology arm of the AICPA. Every week, we share insights from inside the accounting and finance profession that help you stay ahead of the curve, whatever business you're in. You can find links and more information in the show notes for this episode by going to GoBeyondDisruption.com. Our guest today is Robert Matarazzi, the CEO of Luca. In this episode, we'll be talking with Robert about the most up-to-date crypto news, trends, and complexities of reporting and taxation. That's why we've called the episode The Highs and Lows of Crypto Tax. Robert leads Luca, which is a crypto asset management company that has a variety of solutions which transforms blockchain data into easy-to-use information for business operations, as well as a specific Luca tax solution which provides the reporting requirements that accounting professionals need. Welcome, Robert. I'm here in Southern California. Where are you joining us from today?
Hi, Casey. So I'm calling you from the DC metro area, and thanks for having me.
We're glad you're here. So we've talked a bit about you and what you do. What did we leave out? What else are you working on? And how does it connect to these recent all-time highs of Bitcoin that we've been seeing?
At Luca, we are focused on supporting institutional quality data and software products to support middle and back office operations. And so as we watch the markets skyrocket here, which is very exciting for the crypto industry and the rapid adoption from mainstream financial institutions, really our customers are seeing a lot more success in their business, which is making them focus on their back office operations a little bit more seriously as they scale. And so that's really where we come into play, is to help those businesses get audit ready and perform all of the middle and back office operations that are more complex when dealing with crypto assets than they would be traditionally.
And crypto industry, I mean, it's fascinating. Plug us into your world for a minute. What does your 9-to-5 look like? Which sectors do you live in? And pivot points do you typically focus on?
So I guess to start, 9-to-5 is not really applicable to Luca for sure. I'd say we're definitely working very long hours, but very happily doing so with all of our customers. And that's just to keep up with the pace that the industry is moving at right now, which is, I know, a time period that many companies that have been working with crypto assets for a while have been waiting for. And so that's very exciting just to see this kind of happen before our eyes. How we're directly supporting those customers is in cleaning up their data. So crypto asset data is very messy inherently, and there are very few standard setters that are doing things like normalizing asset tickers, assigning fair market value to certain assets. You know, we're missing things that the traditional financial services industry has, such as primary markets and close of day and whatnot. For crypto assets, in contrast, we have 24/7 markets, tons of different assets, thousands of them that are offered across hundreds of exchanges around the world and hundreds of other types of businesses. And so what we do is we help our customers sort through their data so that they can first figure out how profitable they are based on their crypto portfolios and value those portfolios. and then get them audit ready, and we facilitate the reporting requirements that they might have, anything from journal entries to tax analysis to 1099s on a case by case, are all in the wheelhouse of Luca that we support our customers with.
Let's switch focus a little and look at why you've joined this podcast today. The episode is called The Highs and Lows of Crypto Tax. About a year ago, Bitcoin was valued at just $3,000 US, and last week it hit the all-time high of over $61,000. What is going on right now to cause the surge? And what do you tell new investors that are concerned about volatility?
First, what we see with any new entrants to crypto assets in general, I'd say stereotypically, they're going to look at Bitcoin because Bitcoin is the Kleenex of cryptocurrency, right? It's the one that people hear about on the news. If you turn on CNBC lately, it's pretty hard to go more than 5 minutes without seeing Bitcoin or crypto come up. Now, that's really just the gateway. From there, it opens up their eyes and they see the value that a lot of these other assets and blockchains offer and ways that they can vastly improve the way that assets are traded around the world. And so Bitcoin is really the starting point. Right after that, we typically see the adoption of other assets. You know, use of the Ethereum blockchain usually comes next. And then from there, it opens their eyes to decentralized exchanges and DeFi and all these things. And the farther they go down that process, the more complex the data becomes and the more complex their tax reporting becomes, because now they interject all different types of circumstances that are new, that are unique to the crypto industry, such as airdrops or forks and all these other buzzwords that people hear about. And they're all you know, mostly very solvable. We're constantly seeing new ones. But as soon as they start doing that, then they start asking the questions, well, how does that affect my back office? How does that affect tax reporting? What's the appropriate treatment in absence of some formal guidance on certain topics? And so those are the types of questions and the problems that we help our customers with on a day-to-day.
For the audience, we will put into the show notes a resource. It's a great glossary of terms for everything blockchain related. We'll just kind of help with those maybe nuances around forks and airdrops and different kind of acronyms that you'll hear about when you listen to this three-part series on blockchain. So, Robert, talk to us about how the regulators in the U.S. as well as abroad are dealing with this. I saw some recent news about India is considering a ban.
Yeah, so we're seeing lots of different developments around the world. The U.S. Government agencies and regulators, I'd say, are probably at the forefront of this. There's a couple other ones, like in the U.K., that we've seen that have put out guidance years ago on certain topics. I'd say, generally speaking, any of the rules or guidance that we do see, or even sometimes it's just FAQs or proposed guidance, it's without a doubt preliminary. I think that, in my opinion, it shows great intent in the general support of the use of crypto assets in businesses and within financial institutions. But it clearly will require a lot more thought and a lot of revision to make sure that it's meeting the intent that, you know, each government agency or regulator is trying to meet, whether it's a supervisory function, you know, reducing systemic risk or protecting consumers or businesses or the various functions. But I'd say generally, I think it's safe to say that we're seeing very little resistance to crypto assets. And it's more a lot of these regulators or agencies diving into the details, trying to learn as much as they can so that they can support the industry as we hope that they will.
And why is it so complex? I mean, as you can imagine, many kind of hear about all of this and step back and just say, is this something I even want to get involved with? It, you know, what is the driving force that is making this, you know, so hard for us to wrap our arms around?
So if we look at the history of crypto that started with Bitcoin in 2009, the original intent of Bitcoin was a little different than how it's being used today. And so, you know, if anyone that's read the Bitcoin white paper, for example, and they look at this decentralized and public ledger, that's a peer-to-peer payment network, that's not necessarily how Bitcoin is being used today. And really, I guess the point that I'm making here is that after Bitcoin came thousands of other crypto assets that are sitting on tons of other blockchains. The Ethereum blockchain is one example where there's many assets that fit on top of that one blockchain. And there's tons of other blockchains, and all of them are pitching an improved version that they think is going to be attractive to investors or to certain business processes, whether it's speed or it's privacy, or, you know, they're all focusing on different things. What's happened is that there's this global marketplace that's formed in response to that. And there's businesses like Coinbase or Kraken or Binance and all these exchanges and trading businesses that have created a marketplace to exchange these assets for one another. And that's the part that I think is very interesting and is appealing to all asset managers around the world, is that we can exchange these assets for one another without interacting necessarily with fiat. And now when we do that, it's very attractive to the investor, but it adds a ton of complexity into the reconciliation and the reporting processes that come afterwards. And it's because all of these blockchains weren't designed to interact with each other. There's lots of companies like Oracle's that are focusing on interoperability and other means to get them to communicate with each other. But it's not part of the native design of these blockchains. And so that's really, I think, that combined with the absence of a lot of standards around controlling these transactions across all the crypto assets are some of the things that contribute to the complexities with the underlying data.
And what are some best practices that our audience can implement?
First is to think about security. That's my number one recommendation for anyone, even family members or others that have contacted me recently, you know, very interested in buying or investing in crypto of any fashion. But I'd say number one is that, you know, crypto assets utilize cryptography, which makes it a very, very secure transaction. However, the processes to interact with them that utilize all of the other tools that we're used to, such as email or our phones, and it's very important to make sure that that you're very conscious of the risks associated with trading these assets, and that you're aware that if you lose certain things, like the keys to your crypto wallet, there isn't always going to be a customer support desk or a business that you can contact to assist you. And so I'd say that's kind of the first advice that I would give people, is be very, very aware and get savvy on the security, and make sure that you're being smart about creating up any of these wallets and that you're using the right experts as needed, as a very first step. And then from there, I would say also think about back office and tax reporting as you're trading, so that you're not caught with a task that is much more burdensome than you realize when you get to the actual tax filing or whatever form of reporting is relevant to you.
And how does Luca specifically look to solve the issue?
At Luca, we have a number of data products that are designed to solve some of these issues. So to start, we have our Luca reference data product. And what that does is we map all of the various asset symbols, file formats, even things like date timestamps of the ecosystem to a Luca ID or a Luca identifier, so that even though the two largest crypto exchanges in the United States, one calls Bitcoin XBT and one calls it BTC, when our users are importing all of that data into Luca software, Bitcoin is Bitcoin because we've solved those mapping intricacies. And that's a very simple example. It gets much more complex when we have trading pairs and we're looking at thousands of assets across hundreds of exchanges. And so, and then from there, the next problem that we encounter is categorizing this data based on the accounting or tax treatment. And so making sure that deposits and withdrawals are actually balance movements and they aren't actually acquisitions or recognition events is one example. If they are, establishing cost basis and proceeds is another one of the challenges that we need to solve for. And determining fair market value for post-trade scenarios with these assets has to be done in a very unique way. And so we've created our Luca Prime product, which helps to establish fair market value for the most liquid crypto assets that are traded across the ecosystem. And once we've done all of that and we've enriched that data, so we've normalized all the ticker symbols and the asset names across many sources, and then we've categorized it into effectively a subledger and assigned cost basis or proceeds as needed at fair market value, then we can reconcile it, we can analyze it, and we can do some of the more expected functions that people would expect on their transaction data. So we can ultimately get to the reports that they need for their businesses or for individuals.
We'll continue our conversation shortly as we discuss turning disruption into opportunity. This is the Go Beyond Disruption podcast brought to you by the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. You can find out more about this podcast and about the rest of our wider project at gobeyonddisruption.com. So, Robert, what do you foresee as the next big trend in crypto? What should we be looking at as the next disruptor?
So what we're seeing right now is with mainstream financial institutions and all the banks that are rapidly adopting crypto into various business units, and they're doing hundreds of vendor interviews and vendor selections so that they can get into the markets quickly. Really, what I'm seeing is it's in response to their clients' demands to gain exposure to crypto assets in some fashion. So we're seeing, just like we see in the news, it seems like daily now, businesses making very, very large investments in Bitcoin to start. We know a lot of other assets are being traded right after that. And so when that happens, if you're a fund or you're a fund manager for a traditional fund, you're going to call up your fund admin and you're going to ask them if they have a capability to accommodate their crypto portfolio. I'd say right now we're seeing the mass adoption of the fund ecosystem first, and then all of the businesses that cater to the fund ecosystem. So that's fund administrators, fund auditors, data providers, and so on. And then from there, I'm sure we'll see a lot of the other ones. We're seeing custodians that are rapidly trying to adjust to adopt crypto. They're interacting with a lot of the crypto custodians, which work in very different ways than traditional custodians operate. So there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve and semantics exercises that have to take place. And then we're additionally seeing a lot of movement in the banks. We've seen guidance from the OCC that talks about the use of stable coins, which is very exciting. So I expect to see a lot of products related to custody, fund administration, and other things that cater to funds first. And then I think a lot of the other business units, like payments, is another interesting topic, for example, that I think we're going to see a lot of developments in throughout this year.
Let's do some signposting. For anyone who'd like to find out more about this topic in general and about your work in particular, what are some resources that you'd recommend?
We're always happy to talk to anyone at Luca. You can find us at luca.tech. For consumers, we have a free portfolio management tool that's essentials.luca.tech. And then we're partnered with cpa.com to offer a 1040 filing solution for CPA firms that have 1040 clients. And that's for professionals.luca.tech or also from the cpa.com website are some of the first ones that I would recommend, depending on what type of a business you are.
And finally, what's one message you'd like to leave for accounting and finance professionals that will help them go beyond disruption?
I'd say despite all of the complexities that we outlined on this podcast, there are very reasonable and practical ways to solve this with the use of technology. I would recommend to make sure that whatever vendors you use have the same standards and frameworks associated with them, such as AICPA SOC controls. Those apply to crypto just like they do to solutions of other service organizations. And ultimately, if you're using a trusted piece of technology, this is very solvable. So don't be scared of it. I recommend to embrace it and just try to get smart on the most relevant topics. And it's really more around treating these as transaction data than it is mastering the underlying blockchain, which is the technology that is creating all this.
Thank you, Robert. We greatly appreciate your time today. There's plenty more to explore about crypto and blockchain, so be sure to tune in to our follow-up episodes on the topic. To see the links, just click on the episode's info icon in the podcast app on your smartphone or tablet, or open the episode in your computer's web browser. You'll find everything right there. There are some other websites we'd recommend for listeners interested in taking this further. Start at gobeyonddisruption.com or jump straight into our brand new portal at future.aicpa.org. That's future.aicpa.org. Go there for courses, webinars, and other professional development resources, much of it available at no charge, that will help keep you ahead of the curve. If you've enjoyed this episode, go tell someone about it. You can also contact us directly via the feedback link in our show notes. We're always keen to know what you think and what you'd like to hear more of. From the AICPA, SEMA, and CPA.com, I'm Casey Johnson. We'll be back soon with more conversations that help you and your profession to go beyond disruption. Till next time, keep listening and keep safe. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond Disruption, brought to you by the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. Learn more about today's topic at AICPA-CIMA.com/disruption. This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the association, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The association, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.